Good evening.
Good evening. Martha.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Unbelievable. My computer. The page I was looking for that I pushed on to open closed. So I have to. So we're not starting just yet.
Okay.
But as soon as I have all the items open, we will start.
Okay. No problem.
I don't know if that's all you, Malka, or is there somebody else on? But don't worry about it.
I'm sorry, Alex. I was muted. I'm going to go mute.
I understand. I just wasn't. Please join me in saying the Anna Bekoa. Anna Bekoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Zerura, Alpekimo Yutap Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Ampasagbenu. Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrem Nungimodalit Yudkashin Barhem Taharem Rachame Sitkadcha Tamid Tamrem Betet Resh Tzaditav Gimel Hasim Kadosh Biro Tucha Nael Adatach Het Kufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zokre Kiddushata Yud Gimel Lamed, Pei Zion Kuf. Shavatenu Kabel, Ushma Tziakatenu, Yodea Talumo, Shin Kufav, Tadiyutah. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of this creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Verav Chesed Ve'emet, Notze Chesed La'alapin, Notze Awon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse in the Zohar, the Sulam commentary of the Zohar, from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, and I'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudsha b'richu ishkinte bitchilu urchimu udchilu udchilu urchimu. L'yakta l'shem yudhe b'vadhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, va'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu konenehu. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekamatar Tanenan Bekutcha Perichu Koma Diaved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Veleilach Mila Bialma Divae Barnash Vedach Yaleya Mine Yaulan Haga Peya Kalana Tehakuru Ovada Dig Shot Inun Wikola Itsterich Be Alma. We're now going to connect to the energy of the year 5778, our current year. There are two verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study, the energy itself, is to bow to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. The first verse we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon, Vayitchal, Vayavo, Hamelech Liroto, Vayomer Amnon, El Hamelech Tavo, Na Tamar, Achoti Utlavev, Leine Shute Levivot, Vievre Biada. The second verse is from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Chet. The letters of this name are separated by three letters each. These three letters times the separating the four letters of the name. This is the concealment, the energy of concealment. Chatati odiacha wa'oni lo kisiti amarti odeale peshai ladonai yohe wahe huyata nasata om. Katati Sela. The year 5777, the year of the goat, the year of the wake up, also has two letters or two verses that connect to its energy. The first of these verses is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. So tzaduni katsipor o yavai finam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to create satskia, which translates to appear like brothers. When we take the final letters, they can be permuted into dir yam, which translates to the sea of tenants. The second verse is from Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tafshin Ayin Zion. The letters of this name are separated by seven letters each, and these seven letters represent the concealment energy. Kin va'adonai Elohechem tadivaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776 is the energy of the pause. The first, there are two verses in this that connect to this energy as well. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu lehashit et kol ha-olot v'yahaskum achechem ha-levim ad kelot ha-mlacha v'yad yitka'atshu ha-kohanim ki ha-levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh. The second verse that we study, well, there's 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to permute them into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe, Lalahe, Wawawa. Yo la yo alame hey 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 aka rekaha. The second verse that we study is Isaiah chapter 26 verse 4. This verse also connects to the pause. Bihu va Adonai yo he wahe ade ad ki biya. Yo-he, Adonai, yo-he, wa-he, Tzur-olami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses in the Tanakh that connects to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next we study 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 23. And the third verse is from Job also. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kegelolanetsa yoved roal yomru ayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's There's only one verse in all of the Tanakh with this energy. It's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami le'Yisrael untati v'shakan ta'ata v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu v'nei avla la'anoto ka'asher barishona. We're now going to connect to the 72 names of God. These are 72 attributes, the three-letter sequences that connect to specific attributes. And we do this by saying the letters of these names, of these three letters in a row. We say them with the root vowel, and then we say the letters in sequence. Wahe wayo layo. Sayote alame mehe shila lahe aka ata heta hezayo alada ala awa heheya yozala me behe ereyo ekome la awa kalayo la wawa pehela. Nulaha yo yo yo, ne la he te te wa. Nuta he he a a, yo re ta shi a he. Re yo yo a wa me, la ka be wa shi re. Yo he wa la he he, ta wa ko me nu da. Anu yo he a me, re he a yo yo za. Hey, hey, ah, hey, me, yo, ha, wa, wa, la, yo, la, hey, sa, a, la, re, yo, a, shi, la, me, yo, hey, wa, hey, wa, da, nu, yo, hey, hey, shi, a, me, nu, nu, a, nu, yo, ta, me, be, hey, pe, wa, yo, nu, me, yo, yo, la, hey, re, hey, me, ta, re. Wa me be yo hey hey, anu wa me nu me hey yo. Da me be me nu ko, ayo wa se be wa. Hey ka wa. Re a hey yo be me, hey yo yo me wa me. We're now going to connect to the 72 attributes that were revealed by the Tzaddikim. We're using the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me me be shi la yo hey anu a ka me ta hey hey yo anu da la hey wa hey me a yo ta la me re hey hey yo yo hey me la wa wa ka be yo. La yo wa pe nu la. Nu me ha yo he yo. Me nu hey he he wa. Nu yo hey hey shi a. Yo re ta shi a he. Re la yo a wa me. La yo be wa he re. Yo yo wa la he he. Ka a ko me nu da. Anu yo he ma me. Re he a yo he za. He shi he me ka ha. Wa wa la yo yo he. Sa a la re yo. A la me ta he. Wa he wa da la yo. He yo shi a la me. Nu he a nu wa ta. Me la he pe a yo. Nu ko me yo re la. He be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he, a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko, a la a he he wa. Re la he yo yo me, he la yo me he me. We're now going to connect to the Ma meditation, which is given to us by the Ari. It's a connection to the unity of the mind and the heart. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ah, yo wada, hey ah, wa ah, wa. Yo wada, hey ah, wa ah, wa, hey ah. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ah. Yo wada, hey ah, wa ah, wa. Yo wada, hey ah, wa ah, wa, hey ah. Yo wada, yo wada, hey ah. Yo wada hey awa awa. Yo wada hey awa awa hey ah. Yo wada, yo wada hey ah. Yo wada hey awa awa. Yo wada hey awa awa hey ah. Yo wada, yo wada hey ah. Yo wada hey awa awa. Yo wada hey ah, wa awa hey ah. The Tzaddikim who left this day, the 10th day of Elul, Rabbi Pinchas of Koretz, I would just like to read a quick comment regarding this particular Tzaddik. He's a very famous sage and lived about 200 years ago, 220 years ago. Rabbi Pinchas of Cortez, or Koretz, is reported to say about anger. He wrote, "For many years I wrestled with anger until I finally conquered him and placed him in my pocket. Now I take him out only when I need him, but I am so angry with him that I do not ever want to take him out again." That is the way we need to feel about anger, that we don't ever want to see him again, but we may need him, and so we keep him in our pockets. Rabbi Yitzhak of Bohush, Rabbi Moshe Yehuda Leib of Pashkan, and the 8th verse of the Anabakah, we say in a whisper. Tonight's class is the writings of the Ari for the Parasha of Ki Tetzé, which is what will be read this coming Shabbat. You will find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. On that page, you will find some remedies to remove anger and to put it in its put anger in your pocket. But scroll down to the Parasha of Ki Tetzé, and the first link is to an essay titled Elul Redemptions, and that's where we will start reading. In case I didn't say it, please say the 8th verse of the Anabakoa that we say in a whisper. Kabbalah teaches us that Elul is the best time for reforming our inner selves. And for some reason, I seem to be when you will go out to war against your enemies, and Hashem, your Lord, will deliver them into your hand, and you will capture its captivity. And you will see among its captivity a woman who is beautiful of form, and you will desire her. You may take her to yourself for a wife. You shall bring her to the midst of your house. She shall shave her head and let her nails grow. She shall remove the garments of her captivity from upon herself and sit in your house, and she shall weep for her father and her mother for a full month. Thereafter you may come to her and live with her, and she shall be a wife to you. As you can see, this ritual is rather absurd, and I shouldn't say absurd talking about a mitzvah, but it there's a lot of questions that come with these two paragraphs. This verse, the opening of Parashat Ki Tetzeh, is always read at the beginning of the month of Elul, the final month of the Jewish year. The Arizal reveals how this verse teaches a lesson specific for the month of Elul. As the good inclination does not enter the person until he is 13 years old, his limbs are used to following the evil inclination from the day that he is born. The divine soul is held captive by the body that has become accustomed to following the evil inclination. The evil inclination, the drive each of us is born with toward fulfilling our material needs and focusing mentally on ourselves, is present from birth. In contrast, the altruistic good inclination enters consciousness slowly, beginning with proper religious education and blooming fully at the age of 13 for boys and 12 for girls. Thus, the evil inclination is at a distinct advantage, having accustomed the individual's body to taking its orders for 12 or 13 years. An unwritten commentary, and then I'll read the written commentary. The unwritten commentary is on the word altruistic. Altruistic, we all know what it means. But altruistic is not what people do. There is no such thing as the consciousness of altruism. What we are talking about is the consciousness of altruism in Kabbalah is referred to as the desire to receive in order to share. And as long as it is a desire to receive, it cannot be altruistic. My written commentary. In modern times, science specifically, psychology or psychiatry, has learned that children are groomed by their potential abusers. This is what allows the children to become abused. This is what is being described in the above commentary. What has yet to be studied, yet is beginning to be discussed, is how society grooms its children through patriotism and demonizing citizens of other countries. This is my opinion. When a person desires to repent, he goes out to war against his enemies, the evil inclination, and the limbs of his body. And Hashem, your Lord, delivers it to you, refers to the evil inclination, and then you will take its captive, referring to the limbs of the body. Continuing along these lines, the Ari writes, and you shall see amongst the captives a beautiful woman, This refers to the soul. And I am adding, in my opinion, it is important to keep in mind that the soul has many levels and components. As such, the above sentence by the Ari may apply to some parts of the soul and not to other parts. This would depend on where in the process of tikkun each component part has reached. The divine soul is held captive by the body that has become accustomed to following the evil inclination. And she shall shave her head, means that the soul will remove any evil beliefs it held. When held captive by the force of the evil inclination, the soul becomes indoctrinated with distorted or evil philosophies and beliefs, such as deism, pantheism, atheism, cynicism, and many other isms. And make her nails mean cutting away and renouncing unnecessary indulgences. Nails symbolize the extraneous life force, since they grow but can be cut without pain. And remove her captivity dress refers to the garment produced by sinful acts, similar to the idiom, remove the filthy garments off of him. Repeated sinful acts weave a crude and vulgar garment that the soul gets used to wearing. A garment of the soul is a means of expression. Repeated sinful acts weave a crude and vulgar garment that the soul gets used to wearing. It's desensitization to spirituality makes it insensitive to the crudeness of vulgarity and gives it the impression that expressing itself in crude ways is sophisticated or chic. So it gets used to thinking, talking, and acting in these crude ways. And she shall weep for her father, refers to her heavenly father, the Holy One, blessed be he. And her mother refers to the collective soul of Israel, similar to what is written, after my return I comforted, a verse from Jeremiah. The penitent must, as part of his repentance, realize that his past acts have harmed Hashem, prevented him from advancing his purpose in creation. Similarly, he has harmed the Shekhinah, which is the collective soul of Israel, by preventing it from actualizing divine consciousness in reality. Remorse for this helps the penitent reorient his energies toward goodness. The verb I comforted in the verse from Jeremiah is transitive, as if to mean I comforted Hashem. And she shall weep for a month of days, refers to the month of Elul, which are days and not years, and are the most propitious time for repentance. The idiom days and not years is taken from the Talmud and means only a short time. The passage concludes, and then she shall be brought to you, and you shall become her husband, and she shall be your wife. This is the completion of this section. We will read another section, the second item, the second link under Parashat Ki Tetzeh in the Ari's writings, is titled The Beautiful Captive. I will make a note for you that this is a different translator, and it's also being translated with the ideas from the book Shem Shmuel, which is a famous Kabbalistic text that is being studied by the Kabbalists or the students of Kabbalah of the current generation in the land of Israel the last 20 years. To my knowledge, it has not yet been translated into English, but parts of it has. The Tzaddik warrior was attracted to the sparks of holiness within the beautiful captive woman, which can be present even among our enemies. When you go forth to war against your enemies, and the Lord your God delivers them into your hands, and you take them captive and see among the captives a beautiful woman and desire her, you may take her for a wife. Rashi tells us that the beautiful woman that the Jewish soldiers met in battle were in fact purposely sent there by the enemy to distract them. The Torah permitted a liaison with such non-Jewish women after the soldiers met other stringent requirements in order to assuage their lustful inclinations. So you see that Rashi perceives them on a human, physical level. Soldiers in the midst of war, experiencing the risk of death, find very strong emotions. They become lustful to the point of controlling themselves with difficulty. And so Hashem, in his mercy, allows them to manifest this rather than hold them to a strict level. Whereas 400 or 500 years later, the Ari is saying something totally different that we just read. So you begin to see how the different attitudes, the different values are expressed by the sages in different ways, discussing the same words in the same verses. Continuing to read. If a man cannot control his craving for non-kosher food, why does the Torah not let him to eat a little? But if so, asks Rabbi Chaim Vital, the greatest disciple of the Ari, and who codified his teachings, why does the Torah not permit such an approach with other mitzvot? If a man cannot control his physical craving for non-kosher food, for example, why does the Torah not let him eat a little? This is the question that Rabbi Chaim Vital was asking the Ari. Because everybody for the last 1,000 years has studied Rashi. And you can accept Rashi as one understanding. But Rabbi Chaim Vital is saying if he allows a soldier in the midst of battle to allow him to actualize his lust, why can't it work for other mitzvot like kosher? I am adding as a commentary, Rabbi Chaim Vital is the redactor of the teachings of the Ari. Therefore, I decided to bold the above paragraph as if it is the Ari who is asking the question. And in answer, Rabbi Chaim Vital explains, the war in which the Jewish warrior encountered the seductive non-Jewish woman was a discretionary war, not specifically commanded by God. Unlike the wars to eradicate the 7 idol-worshipping nations of Canaan, and then in the final days, our days, will be for the title, eradicate the 10 nations This will be a non-discretionary war. This will be a mitzvah to do. And I'll continue to read so you can see what he actually says. The war is to eradicate the seven idol-worshipping nations of Canaan, which were expressly commended in the Torah. They were a mitzvah in the Torah. Such a discretionary war could only be fought by warriors who were tzaddikim, men who had complete and total control of their physical inclinations. Thus, if a tzaddik was attracted to a non-Jewish woman, it wasn't a weakness from within him that was drawing him to her, but rather a force from outside of him. What could that force be? Rabbi Chaim Vital suggests that the warrior was attracted to the sparks of holiness within her, which we know are present even among our enemies. His attraction indicated that it was his task to rescue this spark and return it to its source in holiness. And this could happen in one of two ways. And before I read, I'm going to give you an unwritten commentary. The Baal Shem Tov teaches us that when we're praying the Amidah, and there's thoughts that enter our mind and disturb the prayers, doesn't allow us to focus because these thoughts come and interrupt us. Those thoughts have sparks of holiness that it is our responsibility to elevate. That's why the sparks are bothering us. That's why the thoughts are coming to bother us. Continuing to read. His attraction indicated that it was his task to rescue this spark. Upon meeting him, the woman would experience his holiness, and she would desire to cleave to the Jewish faith, to convert, and to marry him. Or, the meeting alone would draw out whatever holiness was within her, and then she would go on her way, because there would be no reason for them to be married. That last was my consciousness, my unwritten commentary. In either case, she would have to shave her head, removing all foreign philosophies and ideas. She would have to cut her nails, eliminating excess cultural baggage and emotions absorbed from a foreign culture, and get rid of her seductive dress, the garment made of evil thoughts and transgressions. Then she would have to mourn for her father, God, and her mother, Knesset Yisrael, the source of all the Jewish souls, and cry over her sins for a full month during the month of Elul. Then and only then would the Jewish warrior be capable of deciding what was the right course of action to take, whether to marry her or to send her on her way in a respectful manner. I'm adding. One question remains that the sages do not address. If tzaddikim, the warriors would not lose control and be intimate with the beautiful captive. Yet this process of crying during the month of Elul would indicate that these wars would only take place during the months prior to Elul. The question is, did the warriors have relations with the captives prior to the woman being put into the warrior's house? If so, this would be considered premarital sex, which is not forbidden in Israel, but it is also not promoted either. What is forbidden is sex between a child of Israel and a child of Noah, or worse, a pagan. That is the end of this section. It's also the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow morning at our 7 o'clock West Coast time class, we will be doing Slichot once again. I hope you're feeling the cleansing that we're experiencing by doing the Slichot. I bid you all a good evening, Shalom Gadol, and I hope you have a wonderful evening. And hopefully we'll see you tomorrow morning. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Good night.